You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week, we're talking about the Shaquille O'Neal classic, Kazam.
I always think of it as Shazam.
It's not a movie.
I feel like I've seen a logo that just says Shazam in the Kazam font.
Here's what happened. Because I've Googled it the wrong way many times, and I keep Googling Shazam, and then I keep getting results that say, was Sinbad ever in a movie called Shazam?
Like, that's the issue everyone's thinking about. Like, that's the hot button issue where it's that time distortion thing where everyone thinks it's actually Sinbad and not Kazam.
Well, that's because Sinbad, like, as a goof, put himself on the cover of a fake movie that's circulating the internet called Shazam. And it's close enough, and it's an old enough movie that people are getting it twisted.
This is
how,
like,
does that explain the Berenstain Bears?
I was just gonna say, this is like the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, it's like that, but this is intentional. Like, Sinbad is circulating misinformation.
Do you think that Sinbad became aware of the Berenstain Bears before, like, the internet did, and he was like, you know what, I'm gonna use this intentionally for my own uses, and he tried to, like, harness that, but now it's just, like, not funny because everyone's freaking out about the bears.
I don't think anyone could have that kind of, like, foresight into it. Like, that's an impressive amount of foresight.
Yeah. I don't pretend to understand Sinbad.
Well, so gracious of you.
Yeah, yeah. I know, really.
So I don't know what he's up to.
Was that the natural conclusion of where you were going to go with that
story? Oh, I thought that was the conclusion of the bit.
I think Andre's a little distracted because he just spilled some of his drink on his pants.
All that shimmery vinique.
Yeah, and he was trying to, like, nonchalantly dry it up with a Kleenex.
Play it off cool.
Yeah.
All right.
What happened. And now everyone knows.
Well, we mentioned Vinique. Maybe we should talk about the food.
Yeah, we should talk about the food. All right. So clearly, this is a huge Shaq film. This was one of his first acting debuts. He had big... hopes, dreams.
Ambitions.
He wanted to be an actor. And so we kind of dove into the person who is Shaq and found out what he likes to eat. What he has had a lot to eat of.
Wingspan, weight, age, awards, everything.
All of them. We really got to know Shaq for this post.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not a bad guy to get to know intimately. He may be in some controversies as of late.
Wait, is he?
Yeah.
What?
What has Shaq done?
Boop, 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 boop. News.
Shaq alert.
Let's do it.
Shaq watch.
I really don't think we need to get into this.
Okay.
He's just calling out a center on the Warriors and, like, saying he's a bad basketball player.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. So, okay.
On Twitter, and then there's some beef.
Oh, it's a Twitter feud. Twitter feud.
Yeah, but then, like, the Warriors came in and was like, hey, Shaq, you should cut it out.
Okay. All right.
You're going a little too far.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
When you said, yeah, like, there were some things, I was like, oh, God, what did he do?
Yeah, you want it to be, like, a little juicier, don't you?
I mean,
you?
This is, we're coming off of 2016. This is 2017.
Yeah,
we're in an
correct
era where, like, bad shit happens on the internet, and I was prepared for the worst. So I think I'm cool with that.
Not
cool
wrong. A little if I say, like, someone has been into something, like, you expect it to be big news.
Yeah, no, my bar is set very high now.
Would you say we shouldn't even talk about it?
Yeah.
That really.
Especially coming off of 2016.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's a lot. Yeah.
2017 has had its hit.
That's true. It is early.
Every week, something new. But Shaquille O'Neal, we made a meal for him. Appetizer, we went with his favorite chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like there was a anecdote he mentioned about how his mother would go to the store and buy a bunch of chicken wings. And then on Monday, it would be barbecue. On Tuesday, it'd be fried. And then it would change over the course of the week. And I think it was ultimately... because he came from a poor family, it was just her way of using the same protein throughout the week. But there is something really interesting there. We haven't done chicken wings before. I think we all love chicken wings.
Oh, yeah.
It's a staple.
Ever since we went to B-Dubs.
B-Dubs.
it's an American classic.
We need to go back to B-Dubs.
Do we?
I don't know. I felt pretty there's sick better, afterwards.
You felt wings. Sick after that?
I didn't feel good.
It was probably the Asian zing.
Yeah. But we do, whenever we order from Bait Shop here in Seattle, yeah, we always get their wings.
A-plus wings.
A-plus wings. Very good.
And you have to have some wings with some ranch.
Yes. This is actually a big development for us.
Hot debate.
Well, not even a hot debate, actually.
No, because no one liked.
I think decidedly this week, our blog as a unified whole came out pro-ranch. As opposed to blue cheese.
Yeah. Anti-blue cheese.
Anti-blue cheese.
You're right. Not anti-blue cheese, pro-ranch. I like the way you put it the first one. Yeah.
I'm anti-blue cheese.
I'm pro-ranch.
I'm anti-blue cheese, pro-ranch.
Yeah.
I think by being pro-ranch, you are anti-blue cheese.
It's a matter of
branding. There's no gray area in this fight, Andre.
It's one or the other. You definitely don't have both. Like, you can't be pro both and have, like, blue cheese and ranch in your wings.
It's not
are
that
you
kind
an
of
animal?
I don't
it's
think
it's blue cheese or ranch, Andre.
I'm pro blue cheese. Wow. I'm pro ranch.
It's like, wow, this
you guys
took a
back
turn.
Me in the corner.
I just made a big deal about how we were unified, and then you go out and you're like, oh, never mind. I'm actually pro blue cheese.
It's fine.
Do you want to, like, restate it for the audience, like, so that
I'm pro-ranch.
Okay.
Wait. Let's give it some air. Mm-hmm. All right. Couple seconds. All right, now go.
I'm pro-ranch.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Andre's pro-ranch.
So, instead of having a blue cheese-type dip or crumbles or whatever, however you want to eat blue cheese, if you're the one doing that, we had a homemade ranch dip for our wings. And it was delicious.
It was delicious.
Yeah, it was good.
It was really
had a
good.
A little bit of dill, a little parsley, a little celery leaf.
Actually, the wings themselves were also, like, very delicious.
Solid appetizer.
I don't know what I thought went into buffalo wing sauce before, but it's, like, 99% hot sauce.
It's basically hot sauce
and a little bit of butter, right?
That was all that was in
it. Okay, it was hot sauce and butter. That was the whole thing.
Well, yeah, but it's like, it's mixed with the coating on the wings, which is a fried cornstarch mixture. So with that, it kind of creates this like spicy breading.
Yeah.
It's very good.
This tasted good.
Yeah, very good.
So for the entree, Shaq talked about how he loved, or at least ate a lot of turkey sandwiches. I think it ended up being kind of like a staple of his diet, and then...
Yeah, something along the lines of cooking for me is turkey sandwiches.
Yeah,
it sounds like he gets a lot of support from his family when it comes to cooking. And so when he's left to his own devices, turkey sandwiches is go-to.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. A good turkey sandwich is good, and it's pretty easy to throw together.
Yeah.
Some cold cuts, some lettuce, a little cheese, throw that on, whole wheat bread, and you're kind of good to go.
Yeah.
We did take it one step further.
Yeah, we can't.
This is a food blog.
Unfortunately, we can't just do that on this blog. So,
we'll save some time.
Yeah.
We marinated some tomatoes in a balsamic
garlic
thyme herb mixture.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Smelled great.
Yeah.
if I say so myself.
We put the sandwich on focaccia bread from Macrina Bakery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some leftover turkey breast from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that was a real
frozen while still hot, so that it was still good.
That was a real treat.
Little cheddar, Beecher's cheddar melted on top in a toaster oven.
Don't forget the mayo.
A layer of mayo.
Don't forget the mayo.
Some lettuce, and you have yourself a pretty darn good turkey.
It was very satisfying.
Yeah,
it was very good.
I was very happy with it.
Went well with the wings too.
Yeah, it did surprisingly well.
Yeah.
And then for dessert, Shaq loved to talk about his love of eggs and how he had eggs in basically all his meals. And it was a great source of protein for him as he was heading into the NBA season.
I think specifically, though, what inspired us was he talked about how he would sometimes have a dozen eggs as a snack. Yeah. Like, he would, like, have a late night snack, and just it would casually. Just be, like, a dozen egg scramble.
Well, how? Roughly a dozen eggs go into a meringue. There's so many eggs.
That's like, true. A lot of eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it, yeah, so we made 11 meringue pie, which was, like...
Delicious.
60% amazing. Egg whites.
I have not had a lemon meringue pie in such a long time, so it was so nice to just, like, bite into that lemon.
I've had many, like...
I was very happy with it.
Lemon meringue-flavored things more than I've had lemon meringue pies.
I love lemon meringue pie.
Oh, dude, so good.
And I generally have it once a year, and it's for my dad's birthday or for Father's Day, depending on whichever one... I get to be home for.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I always look forward to it because my mom does the same thing that we did with this pie where we...
Burn the top?
No.
Not all of the top.
Louise doesn't burn her pies. But she goes above and beyond making the meringue as, like, big and fluffy and impressive as it can be. And that was the point of this pie since we wanted to, like... play to Shaq's egg tendencies. And it was really good. I think if Louise and Jim had been up here, they would have been proud.
Yeah.
Sidebar, and Shaq
he would have liked it.
Yeah, he would have liked it.
Sidebar real quick, it's hard to imagine 12 eggs as a snack, not just from how much it is, but how much time it takes to crack 12 eggs.
Maybe he just... no, that wouldn't make sense.
What?
I was going to say maybe he had those, like, gritty egg
cartons. Yeah, I was thinking that too, but then I was then like, how would he know it's 12?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, he's very specific about the 12.
Yeah.
Also, when he goes to the grocery store, how many dozens of eggs does he pick up?
He goes to...
these aren't just
snacks. Yeah, he goes to Costco.
There, you
he goes
the
to Sam's Club.
You can get the 60-pack of eggs there.
He gets the 60-pack of eggs. Yeah.
But then
that's the Sunday shopping. That's 5 late-night snacks.
That's only 5 late night snacks.
And that's only late night snacks.
Every week.
Yeah. I think when you're Shaq, I think when you're a man as large as Shaq, this goes for like The Rock as well.
Yeah.
And you consume as much food as you do to like fuel your muscles and your athletic lifestyle. Part of what is involved with that is just going shopping for food more often. And I think that's just part of the deal.
More often than like every day. Oh man, that's a lot of food.
It's a lot of food.
That's a lot of food. But hey, you have to eat a lot of food too, for the amount of energy they consume over the course of a day working out or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, seriously.
So to finish all this out,
but he's not still doing it. I mean, he's done.
No, and in the articles we read, he talked about how like he's much more focused on living a healthy lifestyle, and
he can't eat what he ate when he was in his prime.
I imagine that's probably really, really hard to go from being an athlete of that caliber and eating all the things that you could to being like, I'm retired. I still have that appetite, but if I eat those things,
do you think you do still have the appetite, though? Like, if you stop exercising, then you
don't. I think so.
There are actually dietitians that focus solely on when athletes retire and changing their diet from...
That's so interesting.
A huge, like, large amount of calories they eat. Like, you've heard about Michael Phelps, like, how much food he's had to eat.
Yeah.
Like, he cannot continue... eating that amount of food when he's not exercising as much.
I'm sorry, I just caught on that Andre said a lot of Subway.
I kind of just skipped right past it.
Dude, he was there, like, he was sponsored by Subway. He was all over he was like, every time you go into Subway, there's like a life-size cutout.
I know.
More like, I don't go like into Subway that often.
Yeah, wait, how often are you going to Subway, babe? You this know their like, chicken's only 50% chicken.
Yeah, this was a Why while ago, back there? When like the Olympics were going on. It would have been like 4 years ago or something.
The Olympics were last summer.
It wasn't a last summer thing. It was like 5 years ago then.
Okay.
Was when he was... And you were 4 years before that as well.
Yeah, wait, what? I don't think I've ever seen you in a Subway since we started dating. And that was 6 years ago yesterday.
Do you like Subway?
I think it would have been like 3 years ago.
Okay.
Anyway.
You know what?
You know who's not a sponsor of this podcast?
Yeah.
Subway.
But no, there were these like
now with breakfast meals.
And 50% chicken.
They had Jared for a long time, then there's a whole thing with Jared, and they had to switch it up, and they
got a whole thing. Okay, that's something we don't need to talk about on this podcast. So Kazam, guys. Yeah. Kazam. Wait, no, we should talk about the drink and the drinking rules.
Yes. So, okay.
We're all drinking the drink right now, actually.
More or less. We struggled a little bit to find something that would fit the amazingness of Shaq and everything he has to offer. So we spent a little time. We went down a couple alleys like, oh, what could be a magic drink? And we finally settled on something magical and that also plays off his career with the Lakers, which is where he spent roughly around half of his career in the NBA at. And I think for a lot of us, we remember him most during his Lakers career. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We potentially would have seen some of his career with the Magic, and then we probably saw his career with the Heat as well. But the large majority of it was his Lakers career with Kobe. And so we wanted to create a drink that reminded us of both him and keyed into the magical element of this film itself.
You were the one who actually introduced us to the main ingredient in this drink.
I've had my eye on the main ingredient, which is vinique.
V-I-N-I-Q.
The liquor, little surprise the there at the end.
The liquor that shimmers.
It's so true. They use shimmer in like every other word. In yeah. their description.
Gotta get that shimmer. I'm pretty sure that's the tagline though. The liquor that shimmers.
So it's like a Moscato vodka and like natural flavors mix kind of. And you flip the bottle upside down, shake it a little bit, and it has just like this actually really beautiful and really cool marble-like effect to it.
It's very impressive.
That is really awesome. So we made a drink about that called Abracadabra Punch. That has that Moscato and pineapple juice in it, all coming together to make a beautiful kind of purple concoction that we then put a lemon peel in for that purple-yellow Lakers combination. And
yeah.
Is there anything else to say?
No, that's it. I guess we should comment on the fact that like it's not that good.
No. Like vinique on its own.
Vinique
or the drink?
On its own is not that good. The drink was fine. It's not our best.
There's
drink.
Just nothing too vinique.
It just tastes
beyond
like fruit
the shimmeriness.
Punch. Just yeah. Fruit punch with yeah. a little bit of alcohol.
Vinique
to it.
Is all but the about shimmeriness, that visual.
Yeah.
Visual wow.
There is yeah. something to impressive there. Like if you want to impress some people, get some of that vinique and show them a good time.
Yeah.
A good shimmer.
That's what vinique's all about.
And so then our drinking rules for the movie while we were sipping our vinique were to drink every time Shaq busts a rhyme, which happens a lot.
A good amount.
A lot more. A lot more than I thought.
Like originally that rule was supposed to be drink whenever Shaq raps.
Yeah.
That would have also been fine, but just busting a rhyme, he did that a lot.
Well, here's
what
happened.
There was a lot of rhymes busted in this video.
Here's
what happened with Kazam. Shaq had been playing basketball, and Shaq thought to himself, I might want to be an actor. I might want to be a rapper. How can I expose myself to both kind of fields at once?
He's kind of a man of many talents.
Yeah, exactly. And he got to try them both out and, you know, expose himself. And
did his album come out before or after Kazam?
I don't know.
If you wanted to take a guess real quick, what would you like?
I'd say
his star was totally rising before this film because he had to be a big enough personality at this point to.
I'm gonna say the movie happened after. Like they knew that he could rap, and so that's why they made him a rapping genie as opposed to just a genie.
I think that the movie happened first. And there were some rhymes in it, and Shaq turned those poems into raps.
You think he just, like, freestyled? And they
yeah,
like,
and he enjoyed it so much, he said, I'm going to write my own lyrics, because those lyrics sucked. Those were so bad.
They were pretty rad.
And so then he made an album.
All right, well, this is a little bit of a surprise. He has 4 albums.
Okay.
But he only has 24 tracks.
Only on Spotify or iTunes.
I'm sorry, 15 tracks.
He has more, though, because he has a total of 4 albums.
Wow.
Wow.
And when did the last one come out?
1998. So, his first album came out...
That's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. I mean,
he's gone to new things. 96.
Okay.
So, first album, Shaq Diesel, came out in 1993.
Is Vin Diesel on it?
We can only hope.
we can assume.
And do you want to take a guess at just how well this album did?
400 copies.
Were sold.
Yeah.
Okay, Leanna?
Are we going by copies sold or just any measure of success? I'm going to go with two top 40 hits.
Give me more like a chart position.
No, sorry, on the that's okay. My final.
No, okay.
Okay, I got one.
Andre?
57.
57 what?
57.
No, that's it.
It was number 57 on the charts.
Okay.
For 2 weeks in a row.
On like the US charts?
Global?
Jesus, this is way too much detail.
I'm sorry.
US.
Let
US.
Me just, alright.
Alright, 57 on the US charts.
Just tell us.
Shaq Diesel went platinum.
Wow.
What?
Was peak position was 25 on the US charts, 10 on the US R&B, and sold almost a million copies.
Wow. That's many more than 400.
His second album, Shaq Fu, Da Return.
Wait, Shaq Fu?
Shaq Fu.
Like, spell that. Let's get a spell check.
I think it's Shaq-Fu.
Andre would be correct.
I was going to guess F-O-O.
Do you want to spell Da Return?
D-A.
Yep. There you go.
Space.
Space.
R-E-T-U-R-N. Yep. Actually went gold, but sold significantly less copies.
How did it go gold? If it... What? How does that work? What does platinum and gold
platinum
mean?
Platinum means you sold a certain number. Gold means you sold a little less. Silver means a little less than that. Bronze is a little less than that.
Is there bronze?
The amount he sold... Alright, so for Shaq Diesel, he sold 864,000. For Shaq Fu, Da Return, he sold 271,000.
That's not very many.
No. It went considerably
downhill
after that.
But he still made two more albums.
Yeah.
What a guy.
You Can't Stop the Rain, called R-E-I-G-N, spelled R-E-I-G-N.
That's
nice. And then the last one, very simply and to the point, Respect.
I like that.
I love this.
I like that.
Well, let me check that. Oof. That's some album art. That's some good album art. That is some album art.
So Shaq was a busy man.
Yeah. Wait, okay. So back to
you know what
original...
he's doing now, actually? I was doing some Shaq research. You know what he's doing now? He's taken up an unpaid position with the police force. And it's just doing, like, community outreach.
He's been doing that a long time ago.
In what city?
This is not new news.
In what, in
I'm
LA?
Not saying it's new news. That's just what he's doing now.
Miami.
Yeah. At least that's what he was. I don't know if he still has.
Okay, so back to my original question. Did the album come out before or after the movie? And then we need to move on to the other two.
So the album we were thinking of came out before the movie.
Mm. Okay.
And that was, we were thinking Shaq Fu, Da Return.
So I was right.
Yes. So. Okay.
The other two drinking roles.
He was already a known rapper at this point.
Mm-hmm. Maybe why he was cast.
Probably not why he was cast. But
they needed a rapper.
I mean, it helped, without a doubt. Yeah. But
he was,
I think,
also an executive producer.
I think they wrote this film for him.
I think they did, too.
With him in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they did, too.
So
because there was the slam dunk as
well.
So
real quick, the other two drinking roles, because then I want to get into the part that I think we are all most excited for, that we've been talking about all night.
But we should also talk about the film a little bit.
We should, yes. Drink every time he busts a rhyme. Drink every time he grants a wish. And drink every time the movie gets a little too gritty and you're surprised that it is, in fact, a kid's film.
Kid's film rated PG.
That was PG?
I could see it. There was no blood. I could see PG.
Yeah, it was just like...
There was still some dark topics that were handled.
Well, that was for the parents.
Not
so
very delicately.
As bored as, you know...
Like, I'm not sure if I would show a kid watching this film.
I wouldn't show a kid this film.
I wouldn't show an adult this film. I wouldn't show anyone this film. I wouldn't watch this film again.
Okay.
Let's talk about it.
So real quick, this film... so the story of this film is that there's a boy who...
There's a boy.
Who is
being... Once upon a time, there was a boy.
He's being bullied, and by chance,
he stumbles... He deserved it, too. He was such a little piece of shit. I hated Max.
He was not a great kid.
No, he wasn't. He was super
like,
annoying.
There wasn't any, like, redeeming quality about him.
Not
he was
really,
kind
no.
kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, you're not really sure if he's going to learn from his mistakes, either.
Not sure if he does. Which I have another question about, but let's continue with your storyline.
Okay, synopsis. So what happens is he stumbles upon a boombox that's enchanted with Shaq, who is a genie.
And we don't know how he got in that boombox.
No, we don't actually. They never explain that. He just is in
there. There was a wrecking ball, and then Shaq was in a boombox.
And that's pretty much all we know.
That's about the as much continuity as the movie gave us.
So Shaq has to grant this kid 3 wishes before he can go on his merry way. And throughout the course of the movie, Shaq realizes his other calling might be to just be a rapper. And the boy discovers his real father, who is living in like an underground record label dungeon. And
yeah, that's actually pretty accurate.
Yeah.
I
guess I always think of dungeon below ground, but I always imagine this more above ground, but sure.
The club was above ground, but the office was below ground because there were no windows.
Yeah.
For sure it was below ground.
And it was definitely an underground
club. It was definitely an
underground
club.
I think it was more just a set and they couldn't create any windows, but sure.
It was a dungeon.
It was.
And through the magic of friendship, Shaq becomes free. And the boy accepts that his mom can get engaged to her boyfriend. And that's the whole story.
Yeah, and a lot of filler and several rap songs.
Yeah, a couple good raps.
I would say raps. There were a couple raps in the movie.
There were some raps.
There were some rhymes.
You would say there were some
rhymes were busted.
Actually, there were a couple...
There were some busted raps.
Some raps were rapped.
There were a couple of choice phrases that I would like for us to reminisce upon. Number one. Men are like buses. There's always another one.
That was a good line.
Yeah. Not much more to say about it. Like, I want to say, like, that's a really great line, but it's like, it's a line. Just there's not much more depth to that.
There's not really a whole lot of depth behind any
of these. This is something that Max says to his mom about her boyfriend. I thought he was just coming over for the ribs. And their boyfriend laughs in a knowing way, like, you know what ribs mean.
Which happened a lot more than you would think in a kid's movie.
Yeah. True. That was weird.
Who put a squirrel in your pants?
That's a good expression I'm probably going to use more often.
Everyone want to chime in on what they think that means.
I think it's like, don't get your panties in a bunch.
Yeah.
I think it's an equivalent.
If they wanted
to
use a more well-known phrase, that's what they would have used.
But yeah.
They thought they'd try to be original.
They made up a new one.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. What's the next?
Okay, my last and final line is, let's green egg and ham it.
That was a closing line from a Shaq rap.
Anyone want to take a guess what that means?
I honestly don't think it means anything, but it rhymed with the previous line.
I think it means, let's make something that's so, like, unbelievable, but so good.
Oh, maybe it was like a metaphor for
just how you said it.
Oh,
so...
No.
Unbelievable, but so good.
It was supposed to be a metaphor for the movie. Like, you, at this point, you feel like you don't like the movie. Like, you shouldn't like the movie. Like, there's no way you would like this movie. But just like the movie. Just like it.
Uh-huh.
Like with green eggs and ham.
With green egg and
you
ham.
Wouldn't eat
I imagine
it because
it
he thought
like
he should
hamming
but
it
just,
up.
Yeah, but...
I could see that.
Where's the green eggs come into play?
That's his rapping...
filling out the syllables?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually more like...
No one ever said Shaq was a great rapper.
No, but I will say...
Rapper.
I will say that Shaq definitely wasn't phoning in this appearance. Like,
no.
I think he...
Which, thank goodness, because he was the only thing, like, pulling this film out of the already dark place it was in.
Yeah, honestly, he was actually really great in it. I really enjoyed checking it.
Every time he smiled, it was like, oh my god,
so real. It was so genuine.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you could tell he wanted this to be a really great film, and it's like such.
He probably thought it was because every scene he was in was he was good in. He might have thought it was a good movie before he saw it. I don't know. Do you think Shaq ever watches Kazam?
Oh, I would love to know.
I think he watches it once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
I think he's past that point. Like, think about when you were 20 even, and something you created, like, you would go back to it as, like, a fun goof or something.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about now, because like, I have it on DVD.
Yeah, thank goodness I'm not there anymore. I've come such a